Everybody ready for Merry Christmas? Who hasn't been shopping yet? Who is not going shopping? You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Someone this morning said they were trying to remind me of a time they had seen me at the mall, because I had met this woman and her boyfriend at the mall like a year ago, and I said, was I upset? She said, no, you were real tired. I said, no, that means I was upset because I don't like being at the mall. I guess you didn't get it, but that's okay. Don't matter. Let's see your Bibles tonight. Or let's see your pens and your lesson plan. Turn to Genesis chapter 1 to 1. How many people are visiting tonight? Anybody from out of town want to tell us where you're from? You don't want to tell us? Oh, Encinitas. Okay. Welcome down here. Anybody else? Oregon. What's up, man? You from Oregon? Anything else you want to say before I start? Where in Oregon are you from, sir?
I'm from Eagle Point, Oregon.
Eagle Point, Oregon. What do you do in Eagle Point?
Do a lot of fishing.
Okay. Anybody else from Oregon? I mean, are you from Oregon too? Y'all got energy from Oregon, huh? Anybody else from anywhere else? Are you guys in the military?
Yeah.
Okay. And where are you from, young lady?
Roseburg.
Oh, okay. You're Roseburg? Yeah. I was going to go down the row here. Are you with them? Oh, you're not. Okay. How about you? Are you with them? Okay. Just Oregon and Wisconsin. Okay. What branch of the military y'all in?
Marine Corps.
Oh, we got all the Marine Corps brothers stand up. Okay, stay standing. All the Marine, any kind of military, stand up. Any kind of military. Hey, before they sit down, let's say a prayer for them, amen? Lord, we thank you for our military brothers and sisters. We thank you for all they do so we can have the life we have, and we want to tell them we appreciate them. And we know especially now, it's not just a formality, it's a real deal. And we just pray you protect them and keep them alive, keep them safe. And Lord, we pray to have a powerful ministry wherever they go, that they can do their job and represent you at the same time. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Thank you, brothers, sisters. We are in week 8 of an 8-week series on evolution and creation. And if you haven't been here, I highly encourage you to get the tapes. We talked about different theories of evolution. We talked about the theory or the belief that the Bible says that God created the heavens and earth in 6 days, not 6 billion years. We talked about the difference between those two. We talked about the creation of light, the birds, the fish, the water, the stars, the moon, the gospel in the stars and the constellation. We talked about that. Talked about irreducible complexity. Hopefully it sunk in. And we talked about the evidence of intelligent design in what God made, that there's evidence, clear evidence, that God is, that an intelligent creator designed us, that we're not a product of an accident. But today I wanted to talk about where and how all the different nationalities in the world have come about. How are all of us related? And reason being, it not only is it in the Bible, it's something dear to my heart because I've dealt with racism all my life, but it is a real issue in the world, in and out of the church. And it may not be an issue pertaining to you, but you do deal with it, and hopefully what you're going to learn today will encourage you as a Christian and as a person. We're going to learn today that all of us in here are more similar than different. Not only are we more similar than different, even our differences, namely how we look on the outside, is closer to being the same than it is being apart. And so hopefully it's an encouragement to you and a blessing for you. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for being a creative God, a loving God. And Lord, I pray that you would bless us today and that we would be blessed. And Lord, I pray if anybody here has a little bit of issues with people that are different than them, lingering in their heart, that you would deal with it today. You would purify from their heart and their mind. Some of us were raised that way. We have friends that are like that, that are racist or prejudice or some form of that. I pray that you would speak your word into our heart, that we may be able to deal with that. And Lord, teach us to love one another, as the Bible says, not as man says. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at Genesis 1:26. Eagle Point, Oregon. And where are you from in Wisconsin, young man?
Green Bay.
Oh, y'all won today. Yeah. Green Bay, cheese heads. Why do they say that? They make cheese up there or something? Okay. I went to that up there one time. It was rainy and cloudy. Verse 26. It was rainy and cloudy. I was up there one day. Verse 26. God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man, male and female, in our, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, image, according to our, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, likeness. If you look in your lesson plan, you can fill in that verse. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. When you talk about and think about where and why racism exists and or our differences as different cultures and how we develop an identity of ourselves, many times we have to realize that we were not made in the image of other people. You were not made in the image of racism, the white man, the black man, or the movies. We get our identity from our parents, our neighborhood, or people we want to be like. We start to emulate people who are famous or whatever on television. We weren't made in the image of any of that. You were made in the image of God. And a lot of times we can forget that and we can say, you know what, I want to be like my people. Or I don't want to be like those people. Or those people are not as good as my people because of this. And the Bible says, no, don't play that game. Don't even get in that game. And subtly you can think that. But the Bible says that we were made in God's image. If I was to name to you different neighborhoods of San Diego, for all you who are San Diego, and you don't have to make any comment, but I'll name a few neighborhoods, and you can think in your mind, there was some characteristics may come to your mind. Like if I said East County. I didn't say it. Or if I said PB Ocean Beach. Okay, don't make any noise. I'm just throwing these names out. You could just, if I said National City or Logan Heights or La Jolla or Tijuana, in your mind, you would have all these things come up. And you would say, okay, those people like this, 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 this. Those people like this, 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 this. Those people like this, 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 this. That very subtly is stereotyping people. God says, I made everybody in my image. Why is it that we don't think that about people? There's a term in psychology called reductionism. Reductionism says that when you go into counseling and you tell them what you've been through, like let's say you went to a counselor, you said, my parents were alcoholics. You would be an ACA, an adult child of an alcoholic. And in a book, you can go into a book and look up ACA and it'll tell you all these characteristics of you. You don't like confrontation, you stay busy, you know, and all this stuff that you, because of how you were brought up. And they reduce you down to this list of characteristics. We can do that to each other. We can say, oh, they're from over here, they're like this, boom, 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 boom. Oh, those people from over here, they're like this, boom, 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 boom. And you can do that to yourself. Here's what I am, and here's what I never will be. And you put yourself in a box. What the Bible says, no, I made every single one of you in my image. And guess what? There is no limitation to what I can do through you or in you. The Bible says God has chosen the foolish. How many people here think they're foolish? Join me, thank you. God has chosen the foolish to confound the wise. You may see a person that's real smart. God says, you know what? If I want to, I can use you to confound him. Don't think that person's always going to be over you telling you what to do. I can use you to give that person direction. God has chosen the poor to confound the rich, the ignorant to confound the smart, the weak to overcome the strong when he wants to. All he needs is people who will say to him, God, here I am, use me. And not saying, well, God, he is all I am, and he is all they say I will be. He is all I say I will be. No, people who say, I will be anything that you want me to be. Conversely, we as Christians have to look at other people and never put anybody else in a box. We have to look at other people and say, you know what? God loves you and made you in his image. In other words, there's an ability in your heart to have a relationship with God. There's an ability in your heart for God to speak to you, speak through you, renew your mind, use you in his ministry. Every single human being that walks this earth, God made in his image and with that potential. We as Christians have to know that. And that's what we have to focus in on people. When we start focusing on our earthly culture and our earthly, what we call color, and our earthly heritage and our earthly class, you know, I'm in this class, or I live over here, or I live over here. We are in the flesh. Our carnal nature. Let's read about the flesh in a minute, right now. Your lesson plan. The flesh, number one, fights against God's law. Romans 8, 5 to 9. Romans 8, 5 to 9. It fights against God's law. The Bible says if anyone walks according to the flesh, he is in enmity with God. He's at war with God. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. If you want to please God, you have to walk by faith, not by your flesh. Next, the flesh fights against the spirit. Galatians 5:17. The Holy Spirit wants you to go say sorry, and your flesh says, I want to keep attitude. Holy Spirit wants you to get up early in the morning and pray. You say, I want to sleep. Holy Spirit says, I want you to have orange juice. You say, I want to have a latte. No good for you. Don't drink. Obey. The flesh produces evil. Galatians 5:19-21. Jealousy, envy, fornication, homosexuality, adultery, outbursts of anger, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. On and on and on. You can keep going. All the evil that the flesh produces. The flesh seeks outward display or boasts. There's nothing wrong with getting your hair done. Nothing wrong with wearing nice clothes, having a nice car, getting your teeth straightened out. I was I was coaching my son's t-ball team when he was little. And actually, I wasn't a coach, but I was out there all the time, and sometimes they say coach right field, whatever. And there were a few kids on the team that I kind of gravitated towards. They were the high-maintenance kids. For some reason, these three kids I liked. And I would always go hang out with them and encourage them and talk to them. And these are kids like 8 years old, 7 years old. And so this one kid was out in right field, and I'm in right field coaching. And he's literally picking daisies, throwing them up, throwing, spinning around, you know, looking over here. And I'm like, come on, man, this is a game. This is not practice during the game. I'm like, pay attention, get down, get ready, the ball's gonna come. He's like, you know, spinning around, talking to him, get ready, man, get ready. Get serious, it's a game. He looks up and says, hey, coach. I said, what? He goes, you need braces. So I'm getting ready to get some. But nothing wrong with doing that. But the flesh says, I want to do this because I want attention, and I'm going to focus only on that. The flesh is like that. The flesh also brings about death, Romans 7:5. Your flesh, your heritage, your people, it's all going to die. It's all going to die. My point is this. If you are so hung up on being an American, so hung up on being from East County or the beach area or being white, Hispanic, black, Filipino, Japanese, Chinese, whatever it is you are, all that stuff is going to burn. You got to be worrying about your heavenly citizenship. Your earthly citizenship is not going to get you to heaven. If that's all you're trusting in, you're going to die. Go to hell. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Your sinful nature can't save you. Your culture can't save you. Your citizenship with God is what's going to save you. And so that's what we need to focus on. That's what we need to focus on. The last thing is your flesh must be crucified. Galatians 5:24. Ooh, listen to what this is saying. You cannot retrain yourself to be good. You can't say, I'm going to get saved now, all of a sudden I'm going to make good decisions. No, no, no. You have to say, I'm going to get saved and I have to be crucified. In other words, when you start saying, well, this is what I thought. This is what I thought. In a lot of the business we do at the church, people say, well, where did that idea come from? For whatever it is. And if I say, well, I came up with it, I feel a little spiritual hand go, in a gentle way, God go, what? That wasn't your idea, son. That was my idea. So I had to, no, it wasn't me. I said, you know, and I don't know how to answer because, you know, say, well, the Lord came up with that. Well, what does that mean? But really it was. When you start saying me, you have to understand me, myself, and I needs to be crucified. And you need to surrender your intelligence to God and let him direct your intelligence. Surrender your dreams to God. Let him direct your dreams. Surrender your physical body. Present your body a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice. A living sacrifice. What does that mean? Is that you lay yourself down at the altar and let God use your mouth to speak, him to use your eyes to look, your ears to hear, your hands to pray for people. You surrender yourself and say, God, I am crucified. Whatever you want me to do, that's our responsibility. Because our flesh, when you start thinking I can do it, that's when you get in trouble. Adam and Eve, oh, we can do it. Matter of fact, what did the devil tell Adam and Eve? When you eat from the tree, you can do this on your own. You don't need God. You can decide right and wrong. That's the root of sin. So your flesh must be crucified. So therefore, if you're taking pride in all this, you're in trouble. Don't take pride in all this. Take pride in your Heavenly Father. Now, 1 John 4:20, it says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he's seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? If you cannot call me brother or sister, you cannot pray to our Father. Our Father who art... Wait a minute. Do you understand who my other kids are? I got kids in Tijuana. I got kids in New York, in Africa, in India, in Japan. I got kids... This is God speaking. I got kids in prison. Will you go visit them? I got kids dying of AIDS in the hospital. Will you go visit them? So if you're going to call me dad, let me tell you who your family is. When people get saved here, sometimes I'll say, you know, people come from all different aisles. I'll say, say hi to your brother. And they're like, all right, hi. That's your brother now. If you look around this room, everybody who's saved, raise your hand. These are all your brothers and sisters. So if any of y'all need some money, there you go. Hey, brother, help brother out. Jesus was doing a Bible study one day, and the house was full, and his mother was outside with his brothers and sisters. They said, your mother and your brothers and sisters outside. He said, no, 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 you don't understand. My family are those who do the will of my Father in heaven. So, yeah, I mean, I know that they were born from Mary, but my real family is anybody who does the will of my Father. That's what Jesus said. It's hard for us to understand that. It may be different from what we understand, but that's what the Bible says. Prejudice is bias, unfair judgment, discrimination, distinguish, isolate, classify people. Racism is a pursuit of power of one group of individuals over another. And this does just not have to do with race. It could also be sexism. I was watching a few minutes of Donahue the other day. It was the title of the show was Angry White Man. Something like that. And they had Gloria Allred, the attorney, on there. She was talking about how women are discriminated against and held down, which we all know of. Same thing. God made man and woman in his image. He didn't make man and then made women to serve. He made man and women in his image. Remember last week he said, I told man and woman to have dominion over the fish and the birds of the air? He didn't tell man to have dominion over women. And he didn't tell man or woman to have dominion over other men and women. We're not supposed to have dominion over each other, rule each other. That's all from the devil. That's all from my mindset of evolution. You know what? You're survival of the fittest. You're just a result of an accident, random choice, natural selection. If you can survive, if you can get it done because you're just going to die. You only live once. You ever hear that? As Christians, we don't only live once. You may only live once. I got another life coming. And it's better than this one. Matter of fact, I was when I was playing with the Chargers, these guys were telling jokes and dirty jokes, and I walked in the back room, training room. And they went, shh, that's Miles coming. We can't tell those jokes. I said, y'all can tell those jokes. I'm going to heaven. Y'all are going to hell, so say what you want to say. You know what I'm saying? So if you know that you're going to live with the Lord, if you know you're going to live with the Lord, live like that. But if you're going to live, if you don't think you're going to live with the Lord, if you think you're just an ever-evolving animal, you will live like an ever-evolving animal. Matter of fact, look at we'll get to it in a minute. John 13:35. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Let me tell you something. The best way for you to witness to people is to love them. And the best way for you to know if you can love people is if you can love anybody. Not just your own. And not just the people, and it's not even just your own, but the people who are in your neighborhood. As a matter of fact, in Boston, Boston is, at least when I was in college and high school growing up, I don't know if it's changed all that much, is an extremely segregated city. And South Boston is a white area, and I believe, forgive me if I'm wrong, I believe it's Irish white. Can anybody confirm that? Is it Irish? Okay. If you go to South Boston and you're not Irish white, they'll get you. It's even that specific. And so it's not even, like me, but it's like me. As Christians, the only like me we have is, are you a believer? And a matter of fact, God says, listen, the biggest test is that you can love your enemies as well as your friends. He says, what? Even the heathen love their friends. Who of you can love someone talking behind your back, lying about you, cheating you, holding you down, manipulating your life? That is the true test. Because what did they do to Jesus? They nailed him to a cross. You know what he said? Father, forgive them. That's a true test. That's a true test. It says the world tells us that love sees no color. How many of you heard that before? Love doesn't see any color. Let me tell you something. Don't say that. That's so idiotic. The Bible tells us that love sees color and respects all color. You know, in Matthew, you can write this verse down, Matthew 25:32, the Bible says when God comes with all his holy angels in his glory, that all the ethnos, all the nations will be before him. For you to tell somebody you don't see their ethnicity is an insult. The world wants you to buy into that. That's like saying, hello, how are you? I don't even know if you're a woman or a man. I just know you're human. Please. I can't even tell if you're bald. I don't even know if you have clothes on or not. I just see a person in front of me and I just want to treat you just like whatever I'm supposed to treat you because I'm supposed to be just so blind. Don't say that. You insult people. It's like meeting someone who's Japanese saying, you're not Japanese. You're just American just like me. You know how insulting that is? You know how ignorant that is? You know how stupid that is? You know what you should say in your mind? Wow, God, what a beautiful creature you made. God made all these different people, and here we are in our wisdom. We don't see any of it. That's crazy. And that's our way of loving them. If you do not know where you came from, you won't understand where you're going. In other words, you have to understand that God created you in his image with all this spiritual potential. And if you don't understand that spiritual potential is unlimited, you will not live to fulfill it and to experience it. I took a speed reading class 3 years ago. And when you ever see people speed read on TV where they run their finger down the page? The way that works is that if your eye was to move across the room without following something like your finger, it would move in sections. It would go boom, 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 boom. You could test it when you go home. Just look at somebody, look across the room, and their eye will do this. Boom, 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 boom. But if you follow your finger, your eye will smoothly move across the room just like that. It's a trip. It's very easy to see. So when you run your finger down the page, your finger is dragging your eye down the page in a smooth line. Now what happens is your brain, when you get good at it, your brain reads the words without you having to say the words to yourself. Your brain just picks it up. It is scary, freaky, but it works. And you could just go, whoo, I can't do it that good anymore. But when I used to be able to do it, go, whoo, and your brain just reads the page, you turn the page, whoo, and then you say, you could do 5, 6, 7, 20 pages like that. What did you read? And you know it. My point in telling you that is that your brain has that potential, but you don't even know it because you don't use it. But it's waiting to get used. When God made you, he gave you all this amazing spiritual potential because he made you in his image, and we don't even know it. We don't even pursue it. We don't even try to experience it. So we live like a highly evolved ape, an animal. I'm just going to get mine. I'm going to, you know, have fun. I'm going to live for today. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry, and I'm going to die. God said, no, fool. I made you with all this potential. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to use you. I want to teach you. The Bible says a fool says in his heart there's no God. If you act like that and say there's no God, you're a fool. God says, listen, I have all this eternal life experience for you, this spiritual experience for you. And if you don't understand that, you'll live just like an animal in your flesh. You'll just be an intelligent animal. If you don't understand the mistakes of the past, you're destined to repeat them. Now turn to, if you will, Genesis 11. Genesis 11. What we're going to look at is we're going to look at how man was dispersed around the world and how God could have made all the different races from two people, one couple, man and wife. First, look at Genesis 11. The Bible says that God had Adam and Eve. They had sons. They had family. God flooded the earth, killed everybody except eight people. Noah, Mrs. Noah, and their three sons, and their three sons' wives. Eight people. Everybody with me? And we're going to see in this story, matter of fact, if you want to fill in the blanks in your lesson plan, we'll fill those in first. It's going to tell us that everyone had one language and one speech. God scattered them by confusing their language, not changing their ethnicity. Chapter 11, verse 1, Genesis, says, the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one. Everybody say one. And they all have one language. Say one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing they propose, say propose, to do would be withheld from them. An interesting little nugget on a different topic. On how to work and get something done. The Bible says they all had the same language. They were communicating clearly. The Bible says they all had one purpose, so they proposed to do something and they were all one. They were unified. If you ever try to do anything, get some people together and say, do we all speak the same language? Now, you may all speak English, but it has to go even deeper than that. Okay. I don't want to ask what he was doing. But if you have to have all one language, then you have to understand, are we all communicating clearly? That we are all going to build a house. Everybody understand that? Yes. We are all going to build a very good house. We're going to build a house this big. It's going to be for this purpose. Are we all communicating? So you have to have the communication. All the people spoke the same language. They had the same purpose, and they were united. And look what God says about these people who had the same language, speaking the same clear communication and one purpose, and they were united. God says that it will not be withheld from them, verse 6. You know what he says? Basically, they're going to get it done. If you have people that are committed to a purpose, they're probably going to get it done. You ever go downtown? We don't have really big buildings downtown compared to some other cities, but you ever go downtown and stand next to a building and say, that is big? It's because a bunch of people got together and said, this is what we want to do. It's going to take millions of dollars. It's going to take years to plan and construct. It's going to take thousands of people doing stuff, but we're going to get it done, and that's what we want to do. And it gets done. And there are so many plans that never get done because communication breaks down, purpose gets divided, people get divided, they fight, they break up, or whatever. And God says, look, these guys are going to get it done. So look what he says in verse 7. He says, come, let us go down, and we have to stop this construction project. And he says, let's come down there and confuse their language that they may not understand each other's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of the old earth, and they ceased to build in the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the old earth. The Bible doesn't say, okay, what he did was he made some of them black, some of them white, some of them Hispanic, and they started throwing gang signs at each other and they split up. It's not what he did. The Bible says they were all united. The Bible says that they all had one language. The Bible says they had one purpose. And the reason why he wanted to stop this building project is because they were building a tower to the heavens. They were worshiping the stars. And so on the steps of the tower were the signs of the zodiac. They were worshiping the stars. And they wanted to work. So he said, no, that's no good. So he confused their language. Simple. You ever go to a foreign country, or you go to Tijuana, by the way, and you are around people who don't speak your language, or they're from a different culture. And if you're in a culture like that long enough, when you finally see somebody that speaks your language, or that's American, it don't matter what they look like. You're like, how you doing? Hey, what's happening at home? Hey, want to talk about football, baseball, whatever it is. You know, if you've been to the mall lately, whatever you're into, you want to talk about anything because you want someone that understands your language. Let me tell you something. God confused all the language, and they split up, and they went certain places. Now turn to Genesis chapter 10. We're going to see where they went. And have your lesson plan handy. Noah had three sons. Shem, believed to be the father of the Semitic people. Japheth, believed to be the father of what we would call Caucasian people. And Ham, to be the father of what we would call black people, Negro people, and even Japanese and Chinese people come from Ham, believed to be. And we're going to look at where these three sons went. Now, this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah: Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And sons were born to them after the flood. By the way, when God flooded the earth and killed everything but these eight people, he put a sign in the sky to tell us he will never flood the earth again. Does anyone know what it is? Everybody say rainbow. Anytime you see a rainbow, that's God saying to you, I will never flood the earth again. Now, fire's coming. Oh, that's better, God. That's better. You're never going to drown, but people are going to burn. That's a fact. So, I don't know which. I'd rather drown. I think it's more peaceful. But I'm not doing neither because I got Jesus. Who's the man? Jesus. Anyway, the homosexuals have adopted the rainbow as their symbol. If you see a rainbow in a car, that's their way of saying this person is gay. And it's also the symbol of the University of Hawaii, I believe. And so, but God said, no, I'm never going to flood the earth. But fire is coming. Verse 2. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Can you imagine having your name Gomer? Hey, what's up, girl? How you doing? What's your name? Oh, Mary, what's your name? Gomer. How could you be cool saying, I'm Gomer, I'm Gomer? You have to change that. They call me Go. Just go. Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, and Tyrus. Look at your lesson plan. Here are countries associated with these names. Gomer, Turkey, France, Spain, Wales. Magog, Russia, Romania, Ukraine. Madai, Iran, India. Javan, Greece. Tubal, Russia. Meshach, Russia. And Tyrus, Yugoslavia. Look at verse 6. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, Canaan. Look at your lesson plan. The sons of Ham were Cush, Ethiopia, Mizraim, Egypt, Put, Libya. These are all African nations. Canaan, Palestine, Israel, and Jordan. When I was in Africa a year ago, Muammar Gaddafi stayed at the hotel that I was in the same time I was at the hotel. And it was all in the papers, and you know, it wasn't, there aren't that many hotels there. And he came to this hotel. I was like, Muammar Gaddafi, I'm going to see this dude on the elevator. I want to share Christ with this dude. Can you imagine that? I mean, maybe that's not a big deal to you. That would be a trip to me. Because this brother's Muslim. Muslim leader, big time. And so his Benz was out there, and the lobby was full of Libyans. So I would go in the lobby, and all his Secret Service, all his boys, this guy's, you know, protected, he's president, all this stuff. And I'm in the lobby, and I'm looking at these Libyan dudes going, these dudes look just like me. They were the same shade of brown. They had, their hair was very similar, maybe a little different hair. The eyebrows were a little thicker. But basically, I'm in the lobby saying, I want to say, what's up, man? Tell me about what it's like to live in Libya. But you know what God says right here? Look, Ethiopia, Egypt, Libya, Palestine, Israel, Jordan, all from the same guy. All from the same guy. Look at verse 22. The sons of Shem were Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. Look at your lesson plan. Persia, Syria, Chaldea, Turkey, Syria. What does that mean? That means that these sons went to different places. These three sons, their descendants, went to these different places based on language and populated the earth from there. Now, how is it that you have all these different, what we call, colors? Let me give you a little. If you look in your lesson plan, I'm going to give you a little, I'm going to try to make it real simple, genetic scientific lesson. If you look in your lesson plan, it says, how could so many nationalities arise from one couple? I went to the Institute of Creation Research. It's right here in Santee, or Lakeside, I believe. It was. You know, I was at a Promise Keepers event once, and they said, everybody in here, it was like, you know, 10,000 men. And the guy speaking said, everybody in here, on the count of three, say your denomination. And you can imagine it was like gibberish. Okay, just, matter of fact, let's have everybody in here say your last name. On three. One, two, three. Okay, I don't know what the heck you said, okay? Now, everybody in here say the name of your God. One, two, three.
Jesus.
Okay, so he did that with the nationalities, and it was real neat. So we get all this, I live here, I live there, oh, here's my name, but you know what? There's only one name. There's only one place, heaven. Amen? Amen. So, but I went to the Institute of Creation Research out here, and I said, what do you think, and I was doing a study on this, I said, what do you think Adam and Eve look like?
He said, well, I never thought about it.
I said, well, let's think about it right now. And the reason I was thinking this question is because if we have all these nationalities, this must have been, if you trace it backwards, genetically, the first people had to genetically have within them the ability to make all the different variations of the humankind. Are you with me? In other words, you take all the cats. There's something about animals that make them a cat. There's something about a certain kind of fish that makes it a shark. There's something about a certain kind of bird that makes it an owl. And with humans, there's something that must make us a human. So I say, well, genetically, there had to be in the first humans, and then consequently again in Noah and his family, because God started all over with Noah. There had to be something genetically in Noah and Mrs. Noah to produce all the nationalities in the world. Help me understand that, Mr. Institute of Creation Research researcher. So we started talking. He said, well, you know, I never thought we'd look in a book, and we got this little grid here. Now, I want to explain it to you first, and then I'll show it to you. Every person has a genetic contribution from their mother and their father. And that makes your DNA, which is, just imagine a long string, with all these little pieces of the string are genes. And every little gene, if you can imagine, is a little computer chip that programs your body to make your hair color, your height, your personality, your eye color, your skin tone. Everything about you comes from a piece of the DNA. So you have this long strand, about 5 feet long, is your DNA. And you have tens of trillions of them in one in every cell. You have tens of trillions of cells, and they're all the same. And so every little piece has a little piece of information, and the contribution to that information came from both your parents. Okay? So in this diagram, I have Noah having two genes from his mother and two genes from his father that dictate his skin tone. This is a very simplistic form. Now, the capital D represents darker skin, and the smaller D represents a very light skin. One's a dominant gene, and one's a recessive gene. So we see here that Noah, in our diagram, in our example, that Noah was a medium-skinned, medium-brown person. Now, don't think in your mind black, okay, or Hispanic. Just think brown, okay? Just think brown. There's a whole lot of, two-thirds of the earth is visibly brown. Two-thirds of the planet. It's ironic that two-thirds of Noah's kids were visibly brown, but that's another interesting correlation. But just think brown. So he had a capital D and small d from his mom, and capital D, small d from his dad. And Mrs. Noah had the same combination. So if you look on the left side of the box, the D's with the white background, you have two capital D's, a capital D and a small d and a capital D, and two little D's. Those are all the combinations that Noah could contribute to the kids. And across the top, you have the combinations that Mrs. Noah could contribute to the children. And that grid of 16 different boxes represents all the kids in the shades of brown that Noah's kids could have looked like. Now let me back up for 1 minute because I skipped a step. Every single one of us genetically has the ability to produce melanin, which is brown pigment. There is no such thing, as far as I know, as black pigment. This is black. This is white. Now, even though we may know people, are you with me? You know where I'm going with this? We may know people that look real close to that or real close to that, but they ain't that and they ain't that. They're just real close, okay? The only time you could have no pigment is if you are albino, and that is a genetic defect. That's a defect. Now, so none of you are white or black. Every single one of you is brown. Now, I'm not trying to, let me, before any of y'all get up and walk out, let me explain to you what I'm not saying. I'm not trying to tell all y'all I'm a black, we're all black. He wanted to just tell us we're all black. I'm not saying that. Hey, some people might think that. You'd be surprised what people think I say. I'm not saying that. All I'm telling you is that your true color, because white is a classification, black is a classification, but your true color is, and the pigment in your skin, which is all the same, is brown. Go home, look at your skin. Go home and look at yourself in the mirror. When you lay in the sun to get a tan, some of y'all do that, some people don't. Some people get a tan real quick. Some people, I got my tan from my dad, so I don't need to lay in the sun. I woke up with it one day. Never went away. But like when I go in the sun, I could just be outside. I don't lay out and tan, but I just be outside and get a tan just from being in the sun. And some people can lay in the sun, they get tan. Some people can lay in the sun and they get red. And they hurt. And they get pain. I don't know why they lay in the sun. I mean, for real, why would you do that to hurt yourself? But the reason is because every single one of us genetically has a fixed melanin-producing or brown-producing potential. That's why some people tan quicker than others. Some people's tan lasts longer than others. It's because genetically you have a limitation on how much melanin you can produce. But it's brown. So when you get a tan, don't think that your white skin is being cooked to be brown. It's just your very light brown skin is getting browner. That's all that's happening. Now, what the devil wants you to think,
you're classified white, you're classified black, you're classified Hispanic, you're classified other.
What does that mean?
Other.
Those are blue people. What's other? Now, now, what's interesting, if you look up the word Caucasian, Caucasian are people, technically, that are descendants of people from the Caucasus nations. The Caucasus is a mountain range in Russia between the Caspian Sea and, check this out, the Black Sea. For reals. I doubt that any of y'all descendants of those people. But you are classified that way. God says, listen, if you get hung up on that, it's going to mean you and them all your life. But if you get hung up on me, I can break down all barriers, the Lord says. I can show you that even though those people are from a different nation, that I can teach you how to get along with them and appreciate the difference. Don't say you don't see it. One, it's a lie. It's funny when people say it to me. I go, I'm in my mind going, you don't see? How is that? Tell me how you do that. You don't see my hair's a little tighter than yours? Come on now. Your hair folds in wind and my hair just goes, I mean, you can't see that.
Well, no, I just, you know, I'm so mature. I just don't see that. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever.
I mean, come on. It's so. But you know what the Bible says? It's that God says, listen, I'm going to show you how to appreciate people. Did I tell you about the two Chinese ladies in Canada? No? These two Chinese ladies in Canada, actually, it's two couples, but the ladies, the wives, are very outgoing like me. We started talking, and their husbands just stood over there and listened. So we got in this long conversation. They helped bring the crusade to Canada, and I love people. And I'm not saying you have to love people, but I like talking to different people and learning about them. And so I'm talking to these ladies. We're talking. I said, teach me some Chinese. So if you say, how are you in Chinese, it's ni hao ma. But if you say ni hao ma, it means something totally different. Like you got a fat head or something like that. I don't know. But it has nothing to do with saying hello. And so they teach me this. They teach me how to say Jesus. And in Chinese and Japanese and a lot of the Asian language, it's the accent is critical. If you go up with an accent when you're supposed to go down, it means something totally different. Same word. Okay? So, like if you, and I could be wrong in this, but if you go ni hao ma, or if you go ni hao ma, it means something totally different. Anybody here, she speak Chinese to correct me on that one? Okay, anyway. So it's learning Chinese, learning. So they said, we want to talk homeboy. You know I was having fun. I was like, okay, good. I said, now, you have to picture this. These are two, four, you know, my age, 38, 42, whatever. Thin Chinese women. Teachers had us, we want to speak homeboy. So I said, okay, say, what's happening, my brother? So these ladies are like, okay, and I wish I could do that accent because it was so cute because they didn't have, you know, they had a Chinese accent. So they're like, what's happening, my brother? No, tell us. They would say, teach me how to do it. So we were like for 40 minutes going back and forth of Chinese and homeboy or Ebonics or whatever you want to call it, right? So we go and we leave, we're cracking up laughing. And they, I mean, they're hilarious. They were hilarious. So a year later, we do the crusade in Calgary. And the crusade's over. We're in the back room. All these people back there, you know, from the crusade, the bands, whatever. We're just kind of celebrating the crusade. And they walk in. And they were like buddies. Soon as they open the door, I'm across the room. It's all these people in the room. They got their kids with them. They go, "What's happening, my brother? What's happening, my brother?" And I say, "Nihama, Nihama." You know what God says? I want you to enjoy and appreciate what I did. Don't let the devil start pitting you against people because they're different. Get to know people when they're different. When people who go to Africa go, we're going to Africa, you know, in 2 weeks for about 10 days or so. There are going to be people, a bellman in the lobby. And go ask them, how many languages do you speak?
Oh, I speak 7 or 9, I don't know.
I am not lying.
I don't know. I just thought 7 or 9. Or, and then ago I speak Swahili. I speak Zulu. I speak 3 native tongues. I speak French. I speak English. And I speak a little Italian. I got to work on my Italian.
I am not lying. I was in this restaurant called The Carnivore. And
you've been there? Okay. You haven't been there? So you have no idea what I'm talking about? Okay.
In the carnivore, they bring you, they have the they cook zebra, elan, giraffe, buffalo. I mean, anything you see on Discovery Channel, they cook it. Crocodile. You know, I mean, you walk out of there doing this. Want to eat grass outside. And they come to you with this big spear and this big chunk of meat like this big. And they just put it on your plate and slice it off. And they just go around, they go, zebra, zebra. Then they come out, they go, you know, gazelle. And you just eat it, and you just eat it, right? So this guy served me food, and this brother was just buffed out. He was young, he was serving food. I said, yo, man, and I'll mess with all the waiters. Just, you know, how many languages do you speak? And the guy goes, oh, I speak 5. And he spoke all these African dialects, English, French, Japanese. And I'm like, what? And you know what the devil will tell you? You'll see somebody, and you'll classify them until you talk to them. How many languages do y'all speak? Maybe 1. How many of us are still working on English? Maybe 1. And you look at these people, and you go, "You speak 9? How do you memorize 9 languages? How?" And God says, you know what? I want you to know I got people all over the world just like you. Yeah, they were born in different circumstances. They were born in different culture. But they're not less than you or better than you. They're just like you. What makes you any better than someone who was born out of their control south of the border? Nothing. You're telling me if you were born down there in that circumstance that you would be living like you live now? No, you wouldn't. You'd be living just like them. You have no idea what it means. And God's wanting us to move out of all that and to say, I made them in my image just as much as I made you in my image. And I can use them just as much as I can use you. Matter of fact, I can use them better if they submit themselves more to me than you do. Even amidst all that you have. The Bible says if you want to become rich, how do you become that? You become poor. If you want to become powerful, how do you become that? You become weak. What does that mean? That you surrender everything you have. Our culture says get as much as you can. God says surrender. So we're chasing after the wrong thing. And all he's trying to tell us here is, look, you guys are caught up in the wrong thing. I just made people like this. It was no big deal. That's not the focus. I can make blue people if I want. It's not the focus. It's what's in their heart. Turn to Acts chapter 17, then we'll be over. Acts 17. One of the jokes we had when we were in Africa, and hopefully this is funny to you, it was hilarious to us, is that the guy who was with us, Dennis from Limit X, he was telling us how different cultures, the difference between the different African cultures. And the Nigerian people are very forward people. Like they'll say to their wife, I love you. I don't know if they say it that way, but that was kind of his. They're just very forward. And it was a guy getting on a plane, and his carry-on was an engine. It was like a motorboat. And he was going to the counter and said, this is my carry-on. The lady says, you can't take that on a plane. No, this is my carry-on. If not my carry-on, show me my carry-on. So every time we saw somebody walking down the street like with a cow, he said, this is my carry-on. No purpose to that story except it was funny. It was very funny when we said it. Verse 24, Acts 17. This is my carry-on. God who made the world, verse 24, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life to all, breath and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men. You ever watch TLC, the station TLC, and they show you, they'll do a show on a hospital in Chicago or a hospital in New York, and they'll do the emergency room. You see people come in every day. Anyone know what I'm talking about? No? Yes? Okay, it's a hospital, and when people have a real emergency, they bring them to the emergency room, and a lot of times they're bleeding. Every single one of those people, no matter what nationality they have the same color blood. It's all red. And it can go into any human on the planet. Ain't that something? You could take blood from someone who's never seen a TV and lives out in the middle of nowhere in the Amazon jungle, and it's the same as your blood. God, verse 26, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. Why? So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from them. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of our poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Some of you might say, what is the point? Point is several. One, some of you may have issues with people who look different than you, straight up. You're a Christian, you go to church, but you never let that go. Did I tell you about the woman I went to pray for who was dying? No? I'm confused. It's late in the day. I went to pray for a woman. She was 80-something. White lady, friend of mine's grandma. And she told me, my grandma was at one time very prejudiced against black people. Will you come pray for her? Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. I'm going to go love on that lady. We'll just hold her hand, pray for her. And I don't know that she was that in her old age. But you know what? Some of you may have issues like that from your parents, from what you were taught. God says, I want to renew your mind. Point number one. Point number two is that when you look around and you drive down the street, I was driving through downtown the other day around the rescue mission and driving down the streets where the homeless people were laying on the street looking at these people, praying for these people. I was looking at people. And then I saw a guy drunk out of his mind, maybe just out of his mind, just hanging on a pole. I'm not trying to be funny, but he was just hanging on a pole like this. It was sad. And I remember I was talking to my wife on the phone. And I was describing her what I was looking at. I said, this is sad. This is a human being. And he was a white guy. Then across the street was a black guy. Across the street was a Mexican guy. The devil don't care. He don't care. He'll get everybody. Our job is to get everybody saved. The Bible says that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Our job is to reconcile the world to him. He's doing that through us. That's our job. And our job is not to say, not them God, just them. Our job is to say whoever. And we have to understand, we look at people to go, you know what? We're all the same. The devil's playing a mind game on us. Look at those light brown people over there. Look at those mid-brown people over there. Look at those fake brown people over there. Look at those really brown people over there. That's all. But that people made an image of God, and God says, you know, I love them, I love them, I love them. Can I get you to talk to them? Oh, no, God, I can't. Can I get you to talk to them? Yeah, God, go over there. And you know what? I want you to ask them about where they're from, just so you can learn more. Matter of fact, did I show the picture this service? Let me show you a picture real quick. Did I tell you about the picture? Okay, I got to show you a picture. Blonde man, black woman, in our language, they have twins. They're twins. One's blonde, one's black. You don't believe me? Say you don't believe me. I'm going to show it to you, so why would I? There it is. Look at that. Those kids are going to grow up. And someone's going to say, how y'all know? Y'all have the same last name. What a coincidence. Oh, that's my sister. Nah. No, no, no. By the way, that's my twin. We were in the womb at the same time. We were in the womb at the same time. The Bible says God formed us in the womb. What is that? God's saying, figure that out. Figure that out. How are they going to be prejudiced? How are they going? They got the same genes in their blood, in their body. They were in the same womb at the same time, feeding off the same placenta, the same mom at the same time. God says, I could do anything I want to do just like that. So don't get hung up on it. Don't worship something that's so simple. See, we are the created thing. We don't worship us. We worship him. Lord, we thank you so much. And Lord, I pray people will go home tonight and look at their face in the mirror and see the brown. And see that it's not something to make a big deal about, that we need to get our focus off ourselves and our focus on you. And Lord, I thank you. I pray you open our eyes. I thank you for opening up our eyes. And Lord, I pray for people who may have struggled with these kinds of issues in their life. They've been told they can't date out of their race. Moses had an African wife. He was a Jew. And when his brother and sister got mad, God judged them. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked spiritually. Lord, I pray we would be equally yoked with people who are spiritual. Doesn't matter what the outward appearance looks like. You don't look at the outward, you look at the heart. And I pray we would be mature enough to minister to people's hearts, appreciating the package that the heart is in. Lord, I pray that our church would be sensitive to these issues. I remember being in North Carolina. A woman told me blacks weren't allowed in her church just 5 years ago. Lord, I pray that not only would we fellowship together here, but we would allow you to use us in amazing ways in society. That people would know us by our love for one another. That people would say, those people are sincerely sold out to Jesus. And it's evident by how they treat each other. Lord, I pray this Christmas especially, we would be able to display your love. I pray this Christmas especially, we would allow you to crucify our flesh that you may live through us. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, as we sing, I pray if anyone wants prayer before they go, they would meet us under the screens as people pray for you. And Lord, open our eyes up to who we are and who we're not, made in the image of God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're going on vacation, have a great vacation. Please remember us in prayer while we're in Africa. Amen. Let's all stand and sing a song.